الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسل الله تعالى بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا داعيا إلى الله بإذنه وسراجا منيرا. فأما بعد، فقال تعالى: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. وقال: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. وقال نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم: أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. My dear brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered us to live thoughtfully and to consider what He blessed us with and to be grateful to Him for those things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَإِذْ تَأَذَّنَ رَبُّكُمْ لَئِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ وَلَئِنْ كَفَرْتُمْ إِنَّ عَذَابِي لَشَدِيدٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, which means, and remember when your Rabb proclaimed, if you give thanks, I will give you more of my blessings, I will increase the blessings. And if you are thankless, then verily my punishment is indeed severe. We started this series of two khutbas last Jum'ah, and I continue with that on the importance of being thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We spoke about two things last Jummah. We spoke about water as the thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, air and water. We spoke about water yesterday, last Jummah, what we need to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for. Today let us look at something even more critical, and that is air, or more correctly, oxygen. How many of you have heard about the Amazon basin? The Amazon forest, the Amazon basin. The Amazon basin is 10 times the size of Texas. And it produces 20 times the amount of oxygen that all humans on our planet need to consume in 1 year. The Amazon basin, however, doesn't have great soil. Trees get nutrients only from leaf fall and decomposing organic matter. The trees of the Amazon literally hold up each other with the branches that get entwined. It's not because of deep root systems, but because they are so close to each other. But this organic matter and this nitrogen from leaf fall, because of the heavy rainfall, that also gets leached out of the soil, and especially phosphates, it goes off into the sea. The scientists have estimated that annually 27 million tons of nutrients get washed out of the Amazon basin. I want you to remember these numbers. 27 million tons of nutrients get washed out of the Amazon basin. So the trees need those nutrients to survive and grow. Where does that come from? Winds take dust from the Sahara and from other deserts in North Africa across the Atlantic and dump it into the Amazon basin. They've estimated that the amount of that dust, the quantity of that dust which comes off the deserts of North Africa, including the Sahara, and gets dumped into the Amazon basin. Guess what that quantity is? 27 million tons. This is the benefit of technology. You know, a lot of this experimentation has been done by the International Space Station, because of where they are, they take these photographs and so on and so forth. So we have pretty accurate numbers. So 27 million tons of nutrients gets washed out of the Amazon basin, and 27 million tons of phosphates and nitrogen is deposited in the Amazon basin annually by winds that take it not from somewhere nearby, but from across Africa, across the Atlantic, down south into South America, and into the Amazon basin. And this is perfect fertilizer because it is rich in phosphates. And I'll tell you, rich in phosphorus and phosphates, and I'll tell you where that comes from. So very interesting. Here is the Amazon basin, which is 10 times the size of Texas, and it produces 20 times the amount of oxygen that all human beings on the face of the planet need. But there's a catch. And the catch is, not one single breath of that oxygen escapes the Amazon basin. It's all consumed in the Amazon basin by the animals, by the birds, by the reptiles, by the insects, by all the living beings. Not one breath of that air, that oxygen, escapes the Amazon basin. I'm sure many of you have heard this term we use all the time. We say the Amazon is the lungs of the world. Well, guess what? It is the lungs of the world in the sense it produces the oxygen, but that oxygen is not coming to you. It doesn't escape. The interesting thing is, the question that I keep on asking myself is something that somebody asked me once. I was doing a lecture on introduction to Islam to a group of Hindu people in India, and master of ceremonies, the MC, he said, I have one question. After I finished the talk, he said, I have one question. I said, what's that? He said, why didn't God simply produce, and this was an engineering term, so they were all engineers and machinists and so on. So he says, why didn't God simply produce human beings like an extrusion? You know, what's an extrusion? You just roll it out and it just comes out, like you make spaghetti, for example. And then chop, 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 everything is exactly the same. So he said, why didn't he just make human beings like that? Everybody's good. Everybody's the same. So I said, imagine two artists. There is one who draws this absolutely fabulous, does this fabulous painting, very, very, very beautiful. And then he takes 100 very high quality color Xerox, color photocopies of that painting. So he's got his original painting and he's got 100 copies of that painting, he's put them all up. And there's another artist who does 101 fabulous paintings, each one different. Who is the better artist? Who is the bigger artist? A dumb question. We know the answer. And this is my Rab Jalla Jalaluhu and your Rab Jalla Jalaluhu. I'll come back to this in a minute, but just to put the thought in your mind, we are going into winter. And I'm looking forward to that because I want to see the Qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The structure, now hold your breath, the structure of every single snowflake is different. Every single snowflake. So when there is snow here, I'm going to give a khutbah and I'm going to give you an exercise which I'll tell you now. Go outside, collect one teaspoon, not more, 1 teaspoon of snow, and try to count the number of snowflakes. There is a guy who did that, who actually photographed snowflakes for 40 years of his life, his entire life. And that's how we have this information, that every single snowflake has a different structure. Subhanallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ahsanul khaliqin. Is there a need for a snowflake to have a different structure? So what if they all have the same structure? I mean, we don't even know that. This is Allah. Subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalal. So now we have the Amazon basin. The Amazon basin leaches out 27 million tons of nutrients. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala drops 27 million tons of nutrients all the way across from halfway across the world from the African deserts. The trees take these nutrients, they grow, they produce oxygen, but not a single breath escapes the Amazon basin. But what happens is that the trees draw out moisture from the soil. And this moisture travels up the xylem vessels of the trees, goes into the leaves,
performs the function of photosynthesis and so on and so forth. And that water leaves the trees in the form of water vapor. Remember, we talked about water, this fantastic thing that exists simultaneously in its three states, solid, liquid and gas. So this liquid water converts to gas. The trees convert the liquid water into gas, which is water vapor. And this water vapor from the Amazon forests creates a river in the sky that is bigger than the river Amazon. And it is, they photographed it from the International Space Station, and they say that it completely covers everything beneath it. You can't see it. This river travels north until it hits a wall. And that wall is 5,500 miles long and 4 miles high. And that is the Andes Mountains. It rises, cools, and rains. The rain dissolves carbon dioxide in the atmosphere, which is the second part of what it does, falls on the rocks, erodes rock, converts it into sediment, and dumps it in the ocean. This sediment is full of nutrients, and there is something waiting for it. And what is that? Diatoms. Diatoms. I want you to do something. Take a deep breath. Go on. Now take another one. Right. You owe one of those breaths to a single cell organism called diatom. Diatoms are single cell algae. They are 4 times thinner than a human hair. And they live in houses made of glass. They are the only organism in the world which has cell walls composed of transparent opaline silica, glass. Diatom cells are ornamented by intricate striking patterns of silica. And they produce 50% of the air we breathe. Without diatoms, we would be dead. Why? Why not let the Amazon forest do that job, huh? No, this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He wants you to see Him and recognize Him and glorify Him, Jalla Jalalu. Now, diatoms do one thing. They are plants. So, what do? They fix carbon dioxide from the atmosphere. And then they convert this to organic carbon in the form of sugar. And oxygen is the waste material that diatoms release. Diatoms multiply daily and double their number. And sometimes this is slowed down, but they have estimated that there are between 2,000 and 2 million species of diatoms. Now, when they die, they sink to the ocean floor. They do not decompose. The cell walls remain intact. And they don't degrade, and they are preserved for tens of millions of years. Now, you might say single cell organism, how much is it? The diatom sediment on the bottom of the ocean is 1/2 mile thick. And then, of course, time passes, ocean levels drop, sea floors rise. And guess what happens to those diatoms? They become deserts. That is the phosphate. The cycle is complete. Now, how much oxygen do diatoms produce? Another exact number. Oxygen forms 20.95% of our atmosphere. Exactly. We don't know how the earth does it. 20.95. You know why that number is important? Because too little oxygen and you can't breathe. Those of you who climb mountains and so on, you know what happens. Go to a higher atmosphere, go higher up, and if you actually land, for example, in Ladakh or the Everest base camp, you have to spend a week there just breathing. Acclimatizing to the low oxygen atmosphere. Too little oxygen, you can't breathe. Too much oxygen, spontaneous fires, you burn. So too little oxygen, you can't breathe. Too much oxygen, you burn. How much do you need? 20.95. How much is maintained in the atmosphere? 20.95. My brothers and sisters, we owe every breath we take
to the one who created the systems and the fundamental laws that make it all happen. Without that exact balance, we would still have all the elements, but life would not be possible. أقول قولي هذا استغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد, my brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. We spoke about water and oxygen, and let me tell you about something even more strange, even more critical, even more dangerous, and that is the sun. We like to think of the sun as a life giver. People even worship the sun. The sun does contribute energy, which is essential to life, but in reality, the sun is a planet killer. The sun hits the earth constantly with flares of deadly radiation, with ultraviolet light and with heat. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the earth three shields to protect itself and to protect us from the deadly effect of the sun. The first shield is the magnetic shield. The earth's core is made up of a cauldron of fire. We are sitting on top of the crust of that, which is like the, if you visualize an apple, we are sitting on the skin of the apple. Under the skin is boiling metal. Iron and nickel, and it's boiling and turning, and it is radioactive. That produces its own magnetic field, which completely surrounds the earth and stretches 400,000 miles into space. That field deflects solar radiation and flares, which we see as the aurora borealis. The northern lights, those of you who haven't seen it, must go and see it. Go to Norway, Sweden, in those places you see them. Absolutely, of course, you don't need to go anywhere, go to YouTube. Look for northern lights, look for aurora borealis. It's absolutely spectacular display of colors, greens and blues and so on. And that is really the earth's magnetic shield, which is keeping us from being fried. First shield. Second shield is the ozone layer. I just explained to you how algae, and this is single cell diatoms, how they produce oxygen. Now this oxygen rises up in the atmosphere, and when it hits the stratosphere, because of, again, solar radiation, this oxygen, the O2 molecule splits. Now, when this single valency atoms hit an O2 unsplit molecule, it forms O3, which is ozone. Now, ozone creates a layer, and I'm sure many of you have heard about the ozone layer. The ozone creates a layer which saves us and shields us from UV radiation, from ultraviolet radiation, which otherwise would have burned anything exposed to it. That ozone layer, we have made it holy. We burnt a hole in it on top of Alaska. So especially if your skin is sensitive to sunlight and you go for an Alaskan cruise, you fry. Because of UV radiation. I'm sure many people use, UV filters and what do you call them? Shields. Sunscreens, right? Yeah, sunscreens. Alhamdulillah, I'm born with a natural tan. So, not everybody is that fortunate. So, anyway. So, Alhamdulillah. So, the ozone layer. The first shield is the magnetic layer. The second shield is the ozone layer, which shields us from UV radiation. The third one. Remember I told you about the rain from the Andes, well, this applies to rain everywhere. Rainwater dissolves the carbon dioxide which is in the atmosphere. Now, if that didn't happen, guess what would happen? Venus, which is further away from us, from the sun, the surface temperature on Venus is 480 degrees Celsius. That is hot enough to melt lead.
obviously nothing can exist in that. And the reason for that is the thick blanket of carbon dioxide that covers Venus. It traps the heat, keeps it there and burns. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created rain which melts it. Now, how does carbon dioxide get produced? The major source of carbon dioxide, and I'll tell you, it's the number two source. The number two source of carbon dioxide on the earth is volcanoes. And volcanoes produce carbon dioxide, and this carbon dioxide is dissolved by rain and it comes down, and that is used by plants to grow, which produce oxygen, and we have this beautiful balance. Now, this is the number two source of carbon dioxide. Guess which is the number one source? The number one source, which produces 60 times more carbon dioxide than all the volcanoes on the earth put together, is who? We, human beings. I'm not suggesting that you stop breathing, that would be a bad idea. But we produce carbon dioxide in a million other ways. And believe me, if we don't deal with that, and if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't keep protecting us, then we are going to be in very, very serious trouble. It's literally a matter of life and death. It's as simple as that. It's not, there's no complication in that. If the carbon dioxide in the atmosphere gets heavier and heavier, the earth will just get hotter and hotter, and then life will become impossible. Ibn al-Jawzi rahmatullah alayhi said, if this dunya was not a station of tests, it would not be filled with sickness and filth. If life was not about hardship, then the prophets and the pious people would have lived the most comfortable of lives. But no, Adam alayhi salam suffered test after test until he left the dunya. Nuh alayhi salam cried for 300 years. Ibrahim alayhi salam was thrown into a pit of fire and later told to slaughter his only son. Yaqub alayhi salam cried until he became blind. Musa alayhi salam challenged Firaun and was tested by his people. Isa alayhi salam had no provision except the morsels his disciples provided him with. And Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam met poverty with patience. His uncle, one of the most beloved relatives to him, was slain and mutilated, and his people disbelieved in him. The lists of prophets and the pious goes on and on. They were all tested severely, yet they all thanked Allah. They all thanked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I've tried to explain to you some of the ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala between last Jummah and this Jummah. I request you to reflect on all the others of them. And as I told you, there are ni'mat which I mentioned which are general for everyone, and there are ni'mat which Allah has given to each one of us personally. Some of them are our faculties and our strengths and so on. Some of them have names. Take the name of that one. Take the name of the ni'mah and thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah gave us and blessed us with that ni'mah. In Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this and drew our attention to the fact that whatever happens to us happens because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose it. One of the Salafus Salihin said, when I make dua and I get what I want, I am thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, but when I make dua and I do not get what I want and I get something else, then I am thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala 10 times more. So they asked him, what kind of a strange thing is that? You make dua, you get something, you thank Allah, but when you don't get something, you thank Him, you are 10 times more grateful. He said, why? He said, because when I make dua, I get what I want. When I make dua and I don't get what I want, then I get what my Rabb wants for me. So he said, alhamdulillah. That's why I'm even more thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He did not grant me my dua. Inshallah, bismillah ta'ala, we'll talk about duas in detail at some other time. Just now I draw your attention and mind to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about tests. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ قَالُوا قالوا إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون أولئك عليهم صلوات من ربهم ورحمة وأولئك هم المهتدون. Allah said, which means uncertainly we will test you with something of fear and hunger and loss of wealth and lives and the fruits of your labor. But give glad tidings to us sabirin, the people who are patient and who have sabr, who when afflicted with calamity, they say, truly to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala we belong and truly to Him we shall return. Inna lillahi wa inna ilahi raji'un. And then Allah gives the bashara and He says, these are those people on whom are the salawat, the blessings from their Rabb Jalla Jalalhu. And they are those who receive His mercy and it is they who are the rightly guided ones. Now, brothers and sisters, I remind myself and you to ask this question. What would we as believers say if we were asked, what are we prepared to pay for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy and blessings and Him as our witness that we are rightly guided? If we were given this formula, say, what will you pay for this? If this is guaranteed to you, what would a believer say? And Allah gives us to that with small tests. We ask Allah to save us from all the tests. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us sabirin wa shakirin. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us what He promised to give us and to give us from His own generosity and grace. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be pleased with you, to be pleased with your coming here. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept all your du'as and to give you those things which you ask with khair and afiyah and to give you then more from His generosity and grace until you are pleased and you are very, very happy beyond description. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika arhamar rahimin.
Ya ibadallah, rahimakumullah. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ وَإِيتَاءِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى وَيَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنكَرِ وَالْبَغْيِ يَعِظُكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَذَكَّرُونَ وَاذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ يَذْكُرْكُمْ وَاعْبُدُوهُ يَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ وَلَذِكْرُ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ مَا تَصْنَعُونَ. أخي موسى.